Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am pleased to welcome Jim Klopman. Today, we are talking about balance, and before you press stop, because you might be thinking, oh, this show's about balance, it must be for gymnasts. Oh, this show's about balance, it must be for people that do yoga only. If the show's about balance, it's not really applying to me. Let me just tell you, this show and this topic are important for literally everyone, man, woman, and I'm even going to say kids, all ages, all fitness pursuits, all sports and athletic pursuits. And then again, strictly from a longevity perspective, the importance of health, I'm learning right along with you. The importance, of balance for health is something that I think you're going to walk away with after listening to this interview. Just to give you a little background on Jim, Jim was born with brain damage, ADHD, and dyslexia. He used athletics to overcome these challenges that he was faced with. And after years of being an athlete and unsure of his purpose in life, he found his purpose and developed his own business called the Slackbow Balance Training System. We talked just a little bit about that in this interview, but more specifically, we're talking about balance, how we lose it, what affects it, and what most importantly can turn it around, and how when we do have a focus on turning our balance around and improving it, how that's going to have a positive effect in our performance in fitness and sports, fitness and or sports, but then also again, from a longevity perspective, how it's going to improve our health. So I'm really excited for you to listen to this show. We're definitely going to have him back on the show. And again, we encourage you to write into us at Fitfluential Radio with any questions that you have for Jim. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa. And today on the show, you heard a little bit about him, actually a lot about him in my intro to the show, but I have Jim Klopman, and we are going to be talking today about balance. And I've got to tell you, I can't wait for you guys to hear his story and to realize how important balance is for everything health, wellness, sports, athletic related. So Jim, welcome to the show. I'm going to dive right in and start our interview today so that we can fit in as much as we possibly can. Because when I connected with you and I read your story and I heard about your background and I realized, okay, it's not just me that has balance issues. It's not just my mom. It's everybody. And we can all benefit from paying a lot more attention to our balances on a proactive basis. So that said, there's so many people that are going to be listening to this show for the first time. They're hearing about you for the first time. Or they're going to be hearing about your book and your product. And maybe they're hearing about balance and going, what's the big deal? You know, like I'm not on a balance beam. I don't need to worry about balance. I think a lot of people probably say that, but I'd love for everybody to hear your story because it's a rather intense story, your background. And then we'll kind of dive into balance and why it's important for, again, athletics, sports, and fitness. Tell us your story.
Well, it goes back a long way, and see if I can do it as brief as possible. I have severe ADD and dyslexia, but I've always had, most comfortable times of my life are when I'm doing something that's a severe balance challenge, whether it's skiing at 60 miles an hour or riding a motorcycle too fast. And for all these years, I've tried to figure out, what is wrong with me? And I've been with the best psychologists in the world, and I even advised a professional psychology organization, giving them business consulting services, and still couldn't figure out what was wrong until, I was late in my 50s, and I had a brain scan done with the famous Daniel Amen, who's got all these great programs on educational TV and written I don't know how many books on the brain. And they looked at my brain and they came back and they said, you've got pretty bad brain damage. You've got the brain of a former NFL football player. Mm-hmm. And what was, I think, most fun or interesting for me in the, of course, it wasn't fun, I should say, but what they told me, they said, you know, you have a lot of damage to your cerebellum. And that's where your balance center is. So you need the balance train. And I'm going, no, I don't. And they go, yeah, you do. You need the balance train because we believe in neuroplasticity. And I said, you don't understand. I've invented this whole balance training system. And I balance every day. There's nobody my age in this country, possibly the world, that has balance as good as I do. And they argue with me. And finally, I just said, shut up. I mean, I just shut myself up and let it go. But it all sort of came to light. I was doing the balance training, and we still do, to improve people's athletic performance. But it came to light to me that it was something I did because it seemed to integrate my brain and make me feel better. Of course, backing into the information from there, I went into the research arena and found out that there is a lot of research that supports what I discovered that day when I saw my brain.
When you said that you had all this damage, to your, you know, I believe you said to the cerebellum specifically, yeah. What was it? So, I mean, I didn't even realize, and forgive me, I didn't realize that you had already created some of your balance products right. And were focusing on that before. But when you found out, what caused that? Did you have accidents? Do you have injuries?
I don't know. I think I might've been beaten some as a child and I don't think it was by a parent, but I think it was, you know, by other siblings. And it was it was a big family, 7 kids, pretty rough and tumble. And they're just, you know, I don't blame anybody if somebody did it, you know, it was just, that was the world back in the 50s. And it just explained so much for me finally to have my brain looked at and, you know, find out that a lot of the things you live with, the post-traumatic stress symptoms and so forth, actually came from not from some deep psychological problem, but from, you know, actual tissue that you're missing in the brain or non-functioning tissue in the brain. So, but the balance has been a great integrator for me. It really gets things squared back up and makes me feel better and think better and operate better.
I'm learning along with our audience because I had no idea. I thought that balance, I'm somebody that, and you and I talked about this when we first chatted, I said, you know, most of our runners in the Fitfluential community tend to be pronators and I'm a supinator. And when I do certain poses in yoga, I just fall all over the place because if you have to put me on one foot, I mean, I'm just tipping over to the right. If I'm on my right foot, I'm tipping over to the left on my left foot. And it's always been an issue, high arch feet, whatever. But I kind of just thought, and you know what I tended to do, Jim, is I would just, a lot of times I just avoid that. I'm like, I don't like that. So I can't balance. I'm not going to go. I never thought that number one, it had an effect on just how I felt. And certainly I wasn't thinking of how it had an effect on my athletic or my fitness performance. And I'm guessing a lot of our listeners are feeling the same way. They think you only address balance if you need to for your sport, or if you're, say, for example, like my mom dealing with vertigo, she's 77. So let's look at this in the fitness context. Why is it so important from how you feel, but also just from a fitness performance perspective to be focusing on balance and not just, you know, one time, but on an ongoing basis?
Well, I'll start with, you know, how you lose it. What we don't realize is we live in this world that has no balance challenge. So you're living on perfectly flat floors with perfectly vertical walls. You know, if you walk down a sidewalk, God forbid there's a quarter inch raise in the sidewalk, there's a crew out there shaving it down so you won't trip over that little quarter inch lift in the sidewalk. So you live in this world. I created this thing called a Kloppman Balance Index, 0 to 100, 50 being average, 20 being you need a cane or a walker. And that's what our whole world is built for, is a level 20 balance, where you should be operating at a 50, 60, or 70. And what happens is your system gets detuned. So if you were to lift 5 pounds of weight every day, you're not really going to get any stronger. And it's the same thing. You're operating in a world that doesn't challenge your balance, so you lose that skill. Then when you get a balance challenge, you fall and, you know, hurt yourself. But the other aspect of it for athletes is the best athletes have generally the best coordination, best agility, and it equals balance. The best athletes have the best balance, unequivocally. Mm. And so what happens with the balance system, and it's not, you can't find anything that says this, but I believe it's so. It's part of the autonomic nervous system. So the autonomic nervous system is defined as an automatic system that your body does that's protective. When nobody consciously balances and you use up the 700 muscles just to stand. So you got 700 muscles firing. If you're just standing there, you're not standing still. You got activity all over the body. And that's why, you know, standing is a tiring thing. Hmm. And secondly, falls are painful. So it's protective. Now, here's what happens if you're an athlete. You can only run and turn and cut as fast as your balance system allows you. If you try to exceed the limit of what your balance system allows, guess what? You stumble or fall, and your body won't let you do it. So it automatically throttles you down to the level of your balance system. Same thing's true if you're swinging a golf club or a tennis racket. You can only swing within the limits of your balance system, and if you go outside that limit, you're going to stumble or fall or lose control and not be able to hit the ball, and you automatically throttle down to that balance limit. And we have results, great results in skiing as well. And what happens is just after a few hours of balance training, people will come back and go, oh my God, I'm hitting the golf ball better than I have in years, or I'm moving better in the tennis court than I have in years. And it's just because we improve the balance, now the body can start to utilize those muscles and skills more effectively.
I was just actually, I started running again recently because I've come out of a year of some health challenges, and I actually had some folks advising me. I have adrenal fatigue, or I had right. adrenal fatigue, and right. Some folks that shouldn't have been giving me advice were, and I was listening, and they were saying, you know, you can't be working out, no running, no cardio, no working out, no weightlifting. And so now that I'm back at it, you know, I do tend to go from 0 to 60, and I've started running again, and I really enjoy running. I'm not a marathoner. I'm not somebody that even wants to be a marathoner, but I so enjoy a great run. And I noticed this, and I'm sure you have some input. That's why I was taking notes when you were talking. So when I go for my run, I love to go up these big hills. I love to incorporate sprints, but I tend to want to be on the sidewalk because I realize that if I'm on this area where it's grassy and it's bumpy, I'm all worried that I'm going to fall. And I'm guessing, would you say, and probably our hardcore runners would have an answer to this, but is it actually better for me to be running on uneven surfaces than to only run on either a treadmill or on that, you know, flat sidewalk? Is it better for me and my balance to be on an unexpected surface?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of the great marathoners nowadays are training, you know, 1 or 2 days a week on trails. And all the great marathoners from Eastern Africa all started running barefoot on rocky, uneven trails. Here's the thing about running is that when you run, you spend, if you're just a recreational runner, you're spending about 35% of your time on one foot or the other foot. So if you run for, you know, an hour, let's say, you're spending 25 minutes on one foot or the other foot. Now, if you want to get a sense of how difficult that is, stand on one foot in a runner's position with the other foot behind you and see how long you can stand like that. And if you can stand for a minute, that's pretty good. Try standing for 15 minutes like that. It's really hard. So every time you land, you're balancing. And your body, again, will throttle your running speed back to the point of where they feel, where your body says, I'm comfortable enough now for you to move forward. Hmm. When you can land and absorb energy and balance quickly, you can move forward that much quicker. Now, here's the interesting thing is that if you're a great marathoner, let's say, and you go run on the street, let's say not great, mediocre marathoner, and you run on the street, and then you just to run on a simple trail. It doesn't even have much in the way of unevenness, you know, pebbles and little roly-poly, so to speak. You'll run slower. You can't run faster than what you can on the street because it's not perfectly flat. So the best thing to do if you want to improve your running is to run off the street on a trail. And then if you add the second component, we work an awful lot with people's vision and their peripheral vision, is that when you run in nature, you don't have those flat surfaces around you. There's research that shows that your brain produces almost like antidepressant chemicals when you move or run in nature as opposed to when you run in a cityscape. So wow. as soon as you get out of the cityscape with all the rectilinear surfaces around you and you get into a natural environment, your eyes engage the world differently. You have a broader vision and you start to use that broader vision to help yourself balance better, to pick up input from the world that helps you balance better and steady yourself as you run.
You know, you brought up a couple points there that made me think, and I'm just asking questions because folks that are listening, I'm learning along with you, and I'm not one of those people that's going to act like I know. If I don't know something, I just don't know it. So you mentioned, you know, working with some of your clients and you're training them on what they're looking at, I guess, from an optical perspective. And right. then you mentioned the at the beginning of the show, you know, you're talking about balance and how it's affected by the brain. And then I think of the experience my mom has gone through, and I actually had an experience with vertigo in my early 20s, and it was inner ear related. So is it almost that every part of the body is involved in balance? Is that accurate or no?
You know, that's perfect. It's that's why I call it the balance system. You know, you speak to, first, you know, there's 40,000 neuroscience researchers in the world, and about 20,000 of them are researching the body-brain interaction. So anybody that says they really know all this stuff, including me, are just not telling you the truth. So when I speak to, you know, some of the hot shots in the fitness industry, they go, oh, yeah, the proprioceptive system. Oh, yeah, the vestibular system. You know, they're like using, I don't know, six-syllable words, and they think that they're smart. The balance system is a massively multimodal system. We are the only mammal in the world that's a true bipod. Apes and chimps can kind of do what we do. Dogs can. You can train horses to, but they're not made to do that, and they can't right. do it for a long time. Secondly, try standing on one leg. We really spend all our time on one leg or the other. So this system is a massive system, and it's so massive, Kelly, that you use the vestibular system, which are the little tubes inside your ears. Your eyes, which we're the only ones in the world talking about this now, but 95% of the data in your eyes comes in subconsciously. It does not go to your conscious mind. It goes to your subconscious active body mind. You get data from the bottom of your feet. You have 100,000 to 200,000 receptors. That data from the bottom of your feet does not go to your brain. It goes to tissue on the lower end of your spine. This was just released about 3 months ago. There's brain tissue in the lower part of your spine. That information goes to that brain tissue in the lower part of your spine and back down to your lower limbs to control that system. We see people use their hands differently. You have a massive amount of sensors in your hands. When we see people's balance start to improve, their hands move differently. And we teach people hand movements, and suddenly their balance gets better. And I don't care what you say, that one of the most nerve-rich parts of the body is the tongue. We watch people, and everybody puts their tongue in a certain position when they balance. So there's so many systems involved. And then you have the map of every part of your body where it is. And then you do have the proprioceptive system, which is where the joints and muscles are and how things are moving on your body. So you get data from all these systems. And by the way, if one of these systems is taken out, like even the vestibular system, you can teach these other systems to take over where that system let go or you know, let you down, so to speak.
This is so fascinating to me. Like I knew when you and I first talked and I learned a little bit more about this, this was going to be a cool interview, but this is really fascinating because if you think about it, and by the way, when you said stand on one foot, I was totally standing on one right. foot. And then I thought, you know what? The last thing I need to do is fall over while I'm recording this podcast. So I thought for everybody's sake, I'll stay standing on two. But okay, so everything you say is building more questions for me. And as I'm looking down at my cheat sheet here on some of the things we wanted to talk about, which is a little bit later, we want to talk about falls and how that's, you know, an epidemic and that has to do right. with balance. My question is, you know, you're referring to the people that you work with, and we're talking in the first part of this interview about how balance affects so many things, right? It can affect your fitness performance, your athletic performance.
Right.
And we'll talk about, you know, folks like my mom and people that have issues falling as they get older, and heck, I'm older, you know, but my question to you is for folks that you work with, and I'm not sure if you only work with people in person or if there's, you know, I know they can buy your book. We'll talk about that later. If you can work with people that don't live in your backyard, but are you doing the same things if somebody has an issue and say they've been injured in a sport? Is it the same kind of balance training or consultation, whatever it is that you want to call it, that you would do with somebody who's just older and as they've gotten older have experienced a loss of balance? Is it the same or is it different?
No, it's pretty much the same. I mean, it just depends where you start the evaluation. What we think a big part of what we know is, you know, proper progressions and evaluation. So if you want to go build strength and you could only bench press 50 pounds, I wouldn't lay you down on the bench and say, here's 200 pounds. Mm. You know, you couldn't do it or you'd get hurt. But if you come in the room, you maybe only be able to do 50 pounds, but you might be another athlete that comes in and can bench press 200 pounds. So when you walk in the door, we've already started our evaluation. With somebody who's older, we just start the process at a much lower level and then progress them up from there. If you're reasonably athletic, we start you at a little higher level. But, you know, we're always careful not to progress you or start you at a point past your skill level because it becomes frightening. You know, the really best way to learn how to balance is you have to go to a limit, a failure limit, like you would in weightlifting. Well, if the true failure limit in balance is falling, so we don't want you to fall. So we know how to take you to that limit with just short of falling. So with an older person, they come in, they start at a lower level in terms of the first balance challenge, and then we progress them as we feel like they can be progressed.
Okay,
everybody about the same.
Okay. For somebody like, because gosh, we're already getting to like to the end of our time and I want to make sure I ask some of these things. I definitely want to cover, you know, for folks that are aging and, you know, again, I'm 48. I think one of the, so I always joke and I call myself old, but I'm just saying like old is a state of mind and it's really the definition of what is old and young, even retirement age, everything's different now. But the thing is, regardless of the fact that we can stay so much healthier as we age and fitness, we can look a lot younger than our age on our driver's license, right? But ultimately, it doesn't matter. Once you get in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond, there are certain things that are naturally going to deteriorate, right? Balance is one of them. You know, for me, I find my joints, you know, have issues. That's going to happen and you have to find a way to deal with it. So for folks that are aging, and I'm using air quotes over here because we're all aging. What is it? Is there a certain age that it makes sense? Or should we all, I'm thinking the more that we talk about this balance thing, we should all be working on balance our whole lives, really. It shouldn't be something we wait until we're older and we have vertigo issues or issues dealing with you know, dizziness, right? We should be focusing on getting the word out about this and working on it our whole lives, right? Or no?
Right. I mean, if you want to improve in your sport, no matter what age you are, you got to improve your balance. But, you know, being 48, you think, oh, well, you know, things are okay. But you don't know how bad your balance is. You've mentioned it. But here's a frightening figure, and I gave you some yesterday, but for the people over the age of 45, if you, Kelly, were to go to the emergency room this year for something, there's a 50% chance you'd be there for a fall. So 50% of the emergency room visits for people over the age of 45 are for falls. And I know some of these people, and I've met some of them that are 45, 50, 55, who are fabulously fit. And they've had this fall, and it's a catastrophic fall that causes them to go to the emergency room. Hmm. And they say these three things. They say, first of all, gee, I thought it was something that, you know, I would have fallen a few times beforehand. I didn't think I'd go right to a catastrophic fall. That's never the case. When you fall, and if you've got bad balance, it's oftentimes catastrophic in terms of something getting injured. Two, they always blame it on their shoes, which, you know, if that was true, we'd have shoe lawyers all over the place suing shoe companies. And three, they said we weren't paying attention. Well, nobody ever pays attention when they walk. So it's a serious problem. And it's a serious problem because we don't see it. I believe it's the number one reason why great athletes age out, why athletes have to give up their sport. Because I think they're just as strong as they were when they were younger. Their skills should be better because they're doing it better. They just don't know that they're losing their balance sort of little by little. But here's the thing. They don't need to lose it. They're losing it because of the modern world we live in. Flat surfaces, flat walls. The screens we look at are debilitating and destroy the peripheral vision. For somebody older like your mom, you know, we're putting these big, heavy shoes on these people. They're losing the nerve contact that they have with the ground. They lose the ability to ground with the ground, so to speak. And then the fourth thing are these bifocal glasses or progressive glasses that you're destroying the bottom part of the vision, which is the data absorbing thing of where the information is coming from the ground, where you are on the ground. And when you have reading glasses on the lower part of your vision as you're walking around, it's really bad for your balance. So there's things we're doing to ruin it. But here's the thing, and I'm talking too long, I'll get done quickly, is that this is a software problem. So if I was to teach you how to hit a tennis ball, it may take several months. If I was to increase your physical strength by 5%, it may take several months. When you balance train, you're just reactivating a sleeping software system, and you get better so fast, it's remarkable. We have people come in, they're just like frustrated in the first 5 minutes, and by the end of the session, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I got that much better that quickly. And then from that point forward, your body knows we're re-upping the balance system, and it just gets better automatically, so to speak.
Well, I have a question then on that, and this is probably a good way for us to wrap up, and I think I'm going to have to ask you to come back on because this is a topic we haven't covered, and I think it affects so many. I know. It affects our yogis. It affects our fitness trainers. It affects our runners. Right. It affects everybody. So my question to you is, there's a lot of people listening, like myself, and they're like, okay, I get it. I know I need to work on balance, and of course, we're going to send them to your website. They can look at your book. They can look at, you know, you've got these pretty cool, intense tools that I can't wait to try. But what is it? What does it look like to say someone's going to start working on their balance? Is it a 5 minute, like we talk about meditation and we say, hey, if you're going to meditate, chill out. It's 5 minutes a day. When you're talking about training your balance or working on your balance, what does that look like? Is it a twice a week kind of a thing? Is it a daily thing? What are people that are listening that have no idea that and they know they need to start this? What kind of, because that's always what they're going to ask is what's the time commitment?
Well, I mean, we believe it's like a 10 to 1, 20 to 1. You know, if you spend 20 hours hitting a golf ball, 1 hour of balance training would give you the same kind of results.
Okay.
But all you have to do is just maybe 40 minutes, two or three times a week to get up to a certain level. And then you'll start to utilize the balance in the rest of your sports and you won't need to do it as much. And you'll come back to do it because you always feel good about it. The other thing is once you start doing it, you can't get it out of your brain. You're standing there washing the dishes and you suddenly go on 1 foot. You're walking down the street. And we teach people how to walk like athletes using their balance system as opposed to heel slamming as they walk. So then you start moving like an athlete. You're always conscious of balance all the time. It never leaves your head. So it really is low commitment up front, and it'll give you, you know, you'll be able to lift more weights after you balance train. You'll be able to do so much more after you've improved your balance. Then once you've gotten it up to a certain level, you'd be shocked at, number one, you want to keep it up, and number two, it's something you can't get out of your head. It's there all the time.
Okay. So I have, as we wrap up, I have two questions for you. What I don't want to do is give anybody a recommendation that's going to make people fall and do dangerous things. But, you know, on one hand, we want people to go, and that's what I want is part two of this question is I want you to tell people, where do they find you? Where do they find out more information about your book and some of the balance products that you have? But say that somebody's going to order your book and they're like, well, I want to start, you know, training. I want to do something every day. You know, like for me, I'm going to start making sure I run on uneven surfaces just to start. Are there things that we can tell people that, you know, hey, if you want to start balancing when you're washing the dishes, try to stand on 1 foot for 3 minutes. Are there little things that somebody could start doing on a day-to-day basis that wouldn't hurt them?
Number one, don't stick, you know, if you're going to stand up and balance, don't stick the off the ground leg in front of you. It always goes behind you. And so you have a bent knee and the weight's in the forward part of your foot and you're barefoot. Number two, always have a support nearby that you can reach out and touch. And the third thing I'll say is never, ever, ever balance train with your eyes closed. You're just training yourself to be a well-balanced blind person at that point in time. Keep your eyes open. Don't try to do the Drizzy point. That doesn't work. The broad vision works better. And just try to stand there on that 1 foot, knee bent. You know, I'm on my left leg right now. My right leg is kicked behind just a little bit. I got a desk I can reach out and touch. And that's the type of thing that's just a great starting point because all balance, all human balance is on 1 foot or the other. You're moving from 1 foot or the other. The only time you're on 2 feet is when you're lifting weights. Other than that, any sport, any movement, even standing around, your weight's generally on 1 foot or the other. So if you focus on 1 foot balance in an athletic position, not with the other leg kicked in front, but actually behind you, that's just a great starting point. My other advice is don't do it in the bathroom. You know, there's more falls and deaths in the bathroom. People tell me about, oh, it's so cool. I put on my shoes and socks without sitting down. That's crazy, too. I don't even do that because I'm not going to do it in an environment where if something does go wrong, I'm going to crush my skull on my bedpost through the side of the dresser.
Amen. It sounds simple, but I can imagine a lot of people doing that. So then Here's your last two-part question. Number one, why do I have to? I mean, I kind of get it, but you said always be barefoot. Why can't, like, if I'm standing here right now, I've got my running shoes on. Is it really bad for me to be practicing balance with my shoes on? And so answer that. And when you're done with that, because we're hitting our time block, tell people where they can find you and find your book and find your products. And then I'll wrap up after that.
Well, the shoes are the most debilitating thing. The running shoes are horrible for your balance. Because number one, you have 25% of the bones and muscles in your body are in your feet. You have 25% of the bones and muscles in your body are in your hands. We don't put big pieces of fat rubber on our hands for whatever reason. So this big piece of fat rubber that disengages, all these muscles don't get to work because they can't get through that squishy sole. Secondly, they're not picking up the data they should from the floor. Thirdly, all these running shoes have turned up toes so you can sort of rock around to them when you run. Guess what? The big toe is a big toe for a reason. It's supposed to be doing a lot of work. And when you're standing around and you got your shoes on where your toes are rolled up off the ground with the shape of the shoe, your heels are elevated, you know, 4 to 15 centimeters off the ground and a hidden heel inside the shoe. These are terrible things in terms of teaching your body how to balance. So barefoot's the only way to go. Place to find us? Anything Slackbow, slackbow.com. We've got a phone number on there. We've got an email address. Call and ask questions. We don't care. But everything that you see online is Slackbow, S-L-A-C-K-B-O-W is us.
That is way cool. And Jim, I had such a great time. I learned so much today, and I had no idea about the shoe thing. Very interesting. I definitely think we need to have you back on the show to go into a deeper dive. And then for everybody listening as well, we will have Jim as a guest on fitfluential.com. He's going to be doing a post for us there that could be a potential more deep dive. So if you have questions for that, you can let us know on fitfluentialradio.com, which is where you can also see the show when it goes live next week. Jim, thank you so much for being on the show today. For everybody tuning in, thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.